Hello again. Welcome to another edition of the Mountain View Podcast. I'm your host, Stephen Trammell, joined as always by
Todd Reynolds. Hey, Steve.
Todd, how are you?
Good. How are you?
Well, I'm doing really good. We were going to talk about something tonight that neither of us want to talk about. It's coming from James 3.
It's definitely one of those things that if you're listening to the podcast, we guarantee there's some application.
It's pretty unique, pretty well known, but unique in the sense that everybody struggles with it.
Yeah, I didn't know what you meant by unique because I was going to say it was...
Well, there's some sins. I mean, you could talk about it. People like just everyone. Don't stumble with it, but this is going to stumble with it. Todd was funny. Todd was like, oh, we're going to talk about let not many of us become teachers. No.
Well, that it segues
We've already
into
talked
that.
About The Struggle is Real, the worst podcast right behind the dinosaur episode.
Dude, that was not the worst. I mean, maybe it was only relevant to preachers because I did have a preacher text me and tell me The Struggle is Real, all caps.
That's funny. Was it me, like, texting my sleep?
No. The struggle apparently isn't real for you. You don't identify with the Apostle Paul.
I struggle with talking about struggles. Like, let's go to Happy Land. Let's talk about James 3, the tongue. It's one of those that, I mean, you need to do a lesson on it every once in a while. But I remember doing a kids class on the tongue in my backyard of my old house. Mm. And we had saved our Christmas tree. We generally do it, like, save it, and then in July we light it on fire because it torches, like, in 2 seconds.
No, yeah, I've done that a number of times. I did that with some other Christmas tree-like trees a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, so I had Connor Wiggs out there reading James 3 while I lit this tree on fire.
I think Gabriel was a part of that.
It probably was, just to try to make it memorable.
Because he came home without his eyebrows, I think, if I remember.
It can blow up. I mean, you don't need gasoline or anything. But I want to just burn through this. I mean, we don't have to belabor it. But
burn through it?
I want us to think about how God has called us to do something that's very difficult. And many of us probably don't give as much attention to this as we ought.
Right.
And let's just read through the text and then talk about two or three things I feel like are worth mentioning. So we're in James 3, and he just says, let not many of us become teachers, my brothers, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness, for we all stumble in many ways. And if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he's a perfect man, able also to bridle his whole body. If we put bits into the mouths of horses so they obey us, we guide their whole bodies as well. Look at ships also. Though they are so large and driven by strong winds, they're guided by a very small rudder wherever the will of the pilot directs. So also the tongue's a small member, yet it boasts of great things. How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire. The tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird or reptile or sea creature can be tamed and has been tamed by mankind, but no human being can tame the tongue. It's a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not be so. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and salt water? Can a fig tree, my brothers, bear olives? Or a grapevine produce figs? Neither can a salt pond yield fresh water. This is intense.
Yeah, there's a lot there. We're going to touch the tip of the iceberg here.
Let's do that. But let's start out with point number one, which is, hey, look, everybody stumbles when it comes to the use of their tongue.
Yeah, that's right.
So he says, and if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he's a perfect man, able to bridle his whole body. What do you think he means in that verse when he says, oh, he's a perfect man?
Well, just the idea that if you don't struggle with the tongue, and it's so hard to not struggle with it, you're not going to struggle with anything else. You're going to have everything pretty much figured out if you figure this out.
It's sort of this like rhetorical thing, like you're yeah, like perfect.
Which one first? But mastery and self-control are important things in our Christian faith, and the hardest thing to master is self or is the tongue, I think. And if he's saying like if you have self-control in what you say, then you've got everything else figured out as well.
Yeah, and he's not going to go into why this is such a problem. Or the 100 ways we can sin with our tongue.
Yeah, right.
He's just kind of talking about basically all of evil is there. I mean, it's a fire that just is setting ablaze life every time you turn around.
Yeah.
You know, there's some restlessness about it. So I think he's just saying, you know, this is such a problem for us. And you can do it in so many different ways. Everybody does it. But I think it's worth enumerating for a second sins of the tongue. So let's play a game. You and me right now. Last one standing wins.
Okay.
You name a sin of the tongue, then I'll name one, and whoever is left wins.
Okay. And you've got to do it like in a second or something, like pretty quick.
Well, people will turn off our beep podcast.
Beep. That's the buzzer if you don't.
Okay. I'm going to start.
Okay.
Dishonesty.
Lying.
That's the same word. That's yeah, the but same
it's,
thing.
It's, no, it's a different word.
It's the same thing.
Lying.
You got to go. You got to go again.
Okay.
You got to go again.
Yelling. Is that a sin? See, I don't even know. I guess apparently it's easy.
I guess it can be.
I'm thinking about losing your temper. One word is kind of tough.
Okay. Well, I mean, I think yelling's good. How about coarse jesting?
Ooh, coarse jesting. I mean,
that's a biblical one.
Yes. I don't know. I mean,
I win.
Yeah, no, you do win. You can be the winner. That's part of my job is to help you feel like a winner tonight.
Well, think about stuff from the text. I mean,
insulting, like
insults.
Definitely the idea of blessing God and cursing men.
Yeah. So you talk about cursing, cussing. I mean, that's going to be a podcast. You know, what
profanity.
We say, profanity. Yeah. I mean, you got cutting people down, belittling. How about discouragement? You know, just, how about one who sows discord among brethren? So you talk about division.
Yeah.
I mean, you start to think about how many sins in the Bible are related to the tongue. It's a long list. Mm. And so when we're talking about, hey, Todd, how'd you do this week?
I yelled with
the tongue. Yeah. I mean, did we lose our cool 1 minute and kind of take it out on somebody? Did we say something that was untrue at work just to kind of get the boss off our back? Did we, you know, make fun of somebody or gossip in some way? I mean, see, all these sins are coming out.
Yeah, like bragging. Bragging might be another one.
You know, and so reviling, I mean, all those things from gossip, our study at Devin's with First Peter 2. There's a bunch of them. And so when the writer here says, guys, we all stumble in this way, there's a broad category of sins. And a lot of our problems stem from things that we say.
Right.
Whether it's heartache with relationships, trouble that we get in, we know it. I mean, half the idioms that we use are about, I put my foot in my mouth.
Right.
Those type things. And so for some of us, it's a badge of honor. Are people like this at your work where some people are like, yeah, I'm just very direct?
I'm sure they are. Although at my job, they can be complete prideful, arrogant kind of jerks and never get to the point where they say, I'm just direct. They just
come across that way.
They just come across like these, because usually the people that say, I'm just very direct, they're rude or they're lacking in diplomacy. There's definitely a time that someone being direct is good, like not beating around the bush, not him hauling around.
But I think we typically use that
No, it's, yeah, it's kind
of
like
in defense of our inability to control our tongue.
Yeah, well, as
I'm just going to say what I'm thinking.
In defense of basically being, you know, offensive or kind of being like a jerk to someone.
I'm going to tell you how it is, Todd. That's me. That's just who I am.
Yeah.
And so for Christians,
this is what you get.
For Christians, this unwieldiness about our tongue, prevalent in our society, a culture of just saying what we think, talking about our opinions, all of that, God is saying, needs to be reined in because it's something everyone struggles in. So if you're listening at home and you're thinking about this, how is this topic going to apply to me? What am I going to learn from this? You may struggle with a certain aspect of the tongue. Some may be the tongue, but maybe yours is, you know, you're a loose cannon. You're going to explode. Maybe you're prone to dishonesty. I know people like that, that you can't get a straight truth out of them if their life depended on it. Mm. You know, you're somebody that is habitually dishonest or arrogant or boastful or prideful or negative, pessimistic, dark, whatever that is. Think about your thing as we think about the rest of the text.
Right.
And that'll help you. So take us through the next few verses here and tell me what big point kind of jumps out to you. What's he saying with all these imageries about horses and boats?
Yeah, I mean, I think he's using some analogies to say that, hey, your tongue's a small part of your body. And in the same way that your tongue is a small part of your body, we can direct some big, powerful things with some pretty small tools like a bridle on a horse or a rudder in a ship. And these small things can be extremely influential and extremely powerful. And, you know, that's the springboard from which he launches into, hey, you can just basically be a flamethrower with fire coming out of your mouth, and you're like a pyro, like a vocal pyromaniac, just letting this destructive fire, you know, spew out all over the place. So it's just word pictures, right, to help us understand this small thing is extremely powerful.
It is, yeah, and that imagery that he uses, you can turn an entire ship with a little rudder. And I'm always amazed to see just, you know, the slightest movement can turn an entire boat, and how the course of our life is directly related to the things that we say.
Right.
The kindness we show, the anger we let out, all those things affect our life. And he compares our tongue to a small fire, like you said, and the course of our life is set by this small thing.
Right.
And it can grow from a small fire to a forest fire to, I mean, he ends up with the term hell.
Yeah, you know? No, exactly.
Like, I mean, you're continuing to go down this path that is just going to consume your life and destroy it if it's unchecked.
Yeah. And just thinking about if the course of your life was literally or physically on fire, how treacherous that journey would be.
It's not be right? Fun if there's fire like all over.
Some fire retardant suit or whatever. It's like it's extremely dangerous. And you know what? We're lying in the bed that we make for ourselves on this particular topic, right? He's like, there's not any point at which, you know, your mouth just starts saying something that your brain hasn't told it to say. And then you've got to deal with the consequences.
You know, and it's funny here to think about, I mean, this is cross culture. This is thousands of years ago. This is an entirely different language. You know, he's not talking in English. In every culture, everyone struggles with this.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what the words are that you say that are angry words, curse words, whatever it is. Everybody's been struggling with this. And when he talks about just the abject danger of it, he goes on the next couple of verses to say, nobody can tame the tongue.
Right.
You know, you can tame everything else in life. You're going to be unable to control your tongue because it's this deadly, poisonous, evil thing. Why does he say that?
Full of deadly poison.
How does he make you? How does he make you feel when you read that? I mean, it's just kind of. Is it like a shock factor? Right? Is he like trying to shock you into?
I mean, it is. Except for the fact that we've all experienced it at some point, where we've either spewed the poison, or we've spewed the fire, or someone spewed it at us, and we got quote unquote burned, or we had to deal with the poisoning. You know, there's an interesting verse in. At the beginning of Acts chapter 14, it's only in the King James version, but the Jews are jealous because Paul and Barnabas are preaching on that first missionary journey. And it says the Jews poisoned the minds of the Gentiles. And, you know, that's an example where I think we kind of see what James is talking about in like a very real example. But the fact that the language that he uses, or the way the translators of the New King James translated that, is like their minds were poisoned.
And that's what you do. I mean, you know, when family members have problems with each other, I mean, it's usually things are said over and over. I mean, today, right before we're coming down here, the girls are yelling at each other. I mean, they're not yelling, but they're obviously bickering.
They're and not happy with
Navy
each other.
Comes downstairs and she said, well, I told her to put her clothes up or something. And Amelia, I hear Amelia up there. I told you. And I said, hey, y'all stop. Yeah, I'm yelling upstairs. Navy comes down. Dad, Amelia told me she was going to hit me in the face. And Amelia came down and she said, Dad, I did not say that. I look at her and I was like, well, that sounds exactly like something you would say.
Right.
What did you say? I said, I would like to hit her in the face if I could. But I know I couldn't. And so, you know, I mean, they're sitting here.
The intent's there, but I'm not going to actually do it, so I'm good.
This is 5 minutes before the podcast. We've got badgering, you know, verbal badgering at each other. We got picking each other. We've got borderline dishonesty with you telling me you didn't say something that I knew you said. Right. And then we've got just kind of maliciousness here that's been said. This is all in 5 minutes in a preacher's household before we talk about using the tongue.
What is it possible for Navy to, like, how could somebody want to punch Navy in the face?
Because here's what Navy gets. Navy gets smart mouth and snarky to you. Like, oh. Navy's kind of quick, and so she can cut you quick.
Interesting.
Too,
I've never experienced that with
and
Navy.
It's sort of like, oh, okay, whatever. You know, like, just a little something that'll get you.
Oh.
And so.
So apparently she's good at getting under Amelia's skin.
She is. She knows the buttons, man. Yeah. And I mean, they live in the same room. So. I mean, kids don't have to grow up and learn this. Like, it is innate with this. When he says it's full of deadly poison, everybody's got it, and we're born into it, and we experience it. Yeah. And when you start to think about how much of it you hear and experience, and or do yourself, all you can do when this you read this verse and verse 8, you're like, yeah, I agree. No human can tame it. It's kind of like what you're saying. Like, right. All we're left to do is just acknowledge this truth. And again, it goes to the impossibility of things. With men, it's impossible. With God, all things are possible. But he's just saying over and over the difficulty with which people find themselves controlling their tongue, that people just don't.
Yeah. You know, one thing that I think is really remarkable about this, and you see this at times in scripture when you stop and try to notice this point, what commands is he giving you in verses 1 through 12? He's basically just telling you about this reality. The command is at the very beginning, you know, what we referenced, let not many of you become teachers. You know, that's him giving some kind of instruction. And then from then on, for we're all stumble in many ways, if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he's a perfect man and able to bribe his whole body as well. And then he just starts, he's talking about this topic, and he's not getting to the point to say, hey, you guys, go control your tongue better. He's basically saying you can't do it. Now, that doesn't mean we don't need to try to control it better, but even when he concludes about, you know, you curse men and you bless God, he says these things ought not to be this way. You need to do better here. This doesn't make sense, but it's all packaged in this language that's more just telling you about the reality.
We just got a spanking, like, from James. And it's like, like you said, he was going down this other path, and then he just unloads about how untenable our control of the tongue is, period, and how silly we are to underestimate the small thing, how how it is almost completely evil. And then the last part here, which you're talking about, the inconsistency with which we use it.
Yeah. Yeah. And before we get there, going back to the supremacy of man to tame everything, he's like, we could drive down into Atlanta or go somewhere, right, and see elephants that have been tamed, right, or, you know, all manner of animals that we have control over, that you'd look at and say, well, that's powerful, and, you know, would be very difficult to tame it. And it's like, but when it comes to man's tongue, it's just not.
Well, you think about like Star Trek, you think about like the Vulcans, you know, like Spock or somebody that is, he's just so in control and, you know, dispassionate, and he was unemotional.
Right.
And then you realize, oh, that's science fiction. They literally had to make this character and race up because no one on Earth would fit this bill.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I mean, he's another species from another planet. It's probably from another universe.
You're not real. And so
Vulcan's not real.
For the rest of us, you know,
live long and prosper.
We're struggling with the tongue. So let me just transition to the end. We're going to try to do a shorter podcast. When you think about what he says here with the inconsistency, you know, with it, we bless God and then curse people. Everybody's felt this, right? You're driving to church. You're angry. You're having an argument with the family.
That preacher.
No, that's driving home from church. Then you know, you're mad at me on the way home. You're driving to church. You're frustrated. Had a rough morning. Open the doors. Come inside. And then sing praises.
All smiles.
It's, you know, this inconsistency. And when you think about one of the most frustrating things about anything in life is when there's inconsistency. Problems with your car. Like, I would rather it die every time and be dead than me not to know what's about to happen.
Right.
Right. The intermittent problems, inconsistent problems with your computer, with your phone. Could you imagine one day the hot water working in your shower and the next day it doesn't work? Like, you would get so frustrated with that inconsistency.
Right.
We expect that what something is, it will be. And with man's tongue, you never know what to expect from one moment to the other.
Yeah.
You don't know what you're going to get.
Yeah. Unless you just know you're going to get something that's not good.
Yeah. And which not.
But it's hard to be prepared for that because the flavor of not good is hard to anticipate.
Oh, I know. But it's, you know, and we're all guilty of it. No one's sitting here saying, hey, this has not been me.
No, yeah, right, right. But he's saying the inconsistency and the hypocrisy, you know, blessing God one second and running down your fellow man the next second. It's inconsistent. It's hypocritical. But, man, we can praise God long, loud, and hard. And then, you know, someone does some little thing and we're pick it apart.
No, and just think about that in terms of yourself, right? I mean, it's almost this moment where Jesus picks up the stone, you know, or everybody's picking up these stones, and Jesus says, hey, let him without sin cast the first stone. This is a moment James is trying to get us to think about ourselves and just this self-reflection of our own hypocrisy.
Yeah.
And so what's the takeaway from this is I ought to be ashamed of myself.
Yeah. Embarrassed and ashamed, humiliated. And hopefully honest, you know, I'm talking about how he doesn't really give you instruction in verses 1 through 12, but that doesn't mean, I mean, this is a super practical book. It doesn't mean he doesn't give you instruction. In chapter 4, verse 11, he says, do not speak against one another, brethren. He who speaks against a brother or judges his brother speaks against the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you're not a doer of the law, but a judge of it. There's only one lawgiver and judge, the one who is able to save and destroy. But who are you to judge your neighbor? So later, he's going to say, it's so crystal clear when he does give instruction, he says, do not speak against one another. Done.
And it's difficult.
Yeah.
And so what are we supposed to do? I mean, as we close the podcast, I think, like you said, there is some instruction that is intended for us to be gained from the shame and beat down we just receive from the truth.
Yeah.
I mean, this thing cuts you to the heart. I mean, it pricks you to the heart.
Right.
It's what the Word of God does. So what are we going to do once we've been pricked here and feel like, all right, I need to do a little bit better in this area? I mean, what do you think we could leave them with as far as a couple takeaways about how to do better with trying to tame your tongue?
Well, one thing I want to say is still going back to how James tells you stuff more later. I've read the verse in James chapter 4, but also just one verse, and this is a critical one, James 5:9. Do not complain, brethren, against one another, so that you yourselves may not be judged. And then this is an important verse or phrase at the end. Behold, the judge is standing right at the door. What's going to help us? Well, he says, don't complain against one another. That's what we've been talking about the whole time. But he says, the judge is standing right at the door. And this is a good example for your illustration with Navy and Amelia. If you were standing right at the door and Amelia knew Dad is going to come in here and give me the beatdown, if she says, I would like to hit you, yeah, or, you know, whatever she says, I think that does change our behavior. I mean, there's a lot of times when, you know, we may be watching a show, and if Jesus was sitting on the couch with us, quote, right at the door, we wouldn't be watching that show.
Sure. And it's the same way for church, right? If Jesus, you know, we don't bring our arguments into church.
Yeah, exactly.
We leave those at the door like, oh, I'm at church.
All smiles. How you doing? Great. So what I'm trying to say from James 5 verse 9 is remember the reality. I mean, that's why James is telling us that. Remember the reality that the judge is standing right at the door, and use that to maximize the time that you exhibit and maintain self-control.
Yeah, I think that's good. God's always watching. My takeaway, Ephesians 4:29, let no corrupt communication come out of your mouth, but only such as good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those that hear. You know, at some point you got to decide, it's a faucet you're turning on or off. Which one are you going to turn on? And if it's negative, you don't need to say it. I mean, today I was on the phone with Apple trying to get something fixed on an iPad. I rarely call and deal with Apple support. Their products are pretty brainless. I mean, hard reset, worst case, you just wipe the whole thing and start over. Did all that, still wouldn't activate and connect. And so I called, and within 2 seconds, I knew more about this iPad than this lady did that was on the phone. And I had to make a conscious decision that I was going to make her day better for talking to me than worse. It was hard for me because, you know, working in a company, I mean, just very conscious of customer service and all this kind of stuff. Can't help but think, who hired her? How is this? But I mean, by the end of it, we were just friends. I was like, hey, we solved it. At the end, this is what she said. Well, I didn't do anything. You solved it, because I kind of figured it out. And I said, no, we did it together. And it's just, you have to decide this. Yeah. That's not who I am normally, but you have to decide, I'm not going to be negative. I'm not going to say negative things. I'm not going to tear somebody down.
Right.
Deserved or not. Like, I want to give grace to those that hear. And that's what God calls us to do. And I'm trying to do it.
Right.
Like, we got to try to just stop saying stupid things.
Right.
And just say positive stuff.
I don't know how to fully conquer this. I know that there's power in praying about it, and God can help us to do better and to be better. And remembering that Jesus or God is standing at the door and wanting to give grace to the hearers. But there are some circumstances that are just extremely difficult. And I'm not trying to undo what we're saying.
It's hard.
I want us to kind of also say, if you struggle with it, pray about it, strive to do better, work on it, don't ever give up, but also realize what he says. No one fully masters this.
Yeah, we're going to pick ourselves up a lot on this, because Satan will use you when you're hangry. You know, we got 100 excuses for why I'm acting the way I'm acting.
Yeah.
I'm tired, I'm hungry, I'm frustrated. Gives me a free pass to give you a piece of my mind.
Yeah.
But in general, Satan will use our weaknesses against us.
Yeah.
And that's why it's such a deadly, deadly evil, man. I mean, first thing I say when I wake up, not always a good thing, right? I mean, you just, somebody woke up on the wrong side of the bed.
Right.
It's our tongue. But we got to get after it, right? That's the goal of the podcast.
Yeah.
Think about these things. Think about what area you struggle in and try to get better.
Yeah.
God wants us to do that and be different in the way we speak and act to each other.
Right. And let me say one more thing before we completely close out. When we do sin with the tongue, then there's an opportunity for us to grow in humility and use our tongue in a way that would show repentance that is genuine. And it's, I'm sorry.
That's funny. You use your tongue
exactly.
to undo what your tongue did.
Yeah, I was wrong, right? Please forgive me.
Well, that's not easy.
No, it's 100% hard. I mean, I'm giving these nice little words rolling out of the tongue, and you know, I've had to apologize recently, and you know, I'm sitting here talking about I'm sorry. Well, look, it's hard. It's hard for those words to get through your lips and out of your mouth into the world of the hearers. But I think part of maybe why God made this so hard is because he really desires humility.
Yeah.
And at times when we struggle with our pride or our ego, if we can humble ourselves to say, I'm sorry, then we just become more of what God wants us to be, right?
Yeah.
Humility is one of the hardest things to genuinely and deeply exhibit and possess day in and day out. When we lose control of our tongue, we're failing in our humility. And we're demonstrating some kind of pride. And then, like, when we look at how ugly that looks, we've got to say, I need to apologize.
No, and that's good. So if you've made a mess of your life and set the world on fire like hell with your tongue's the only thing that can put out that fire. Go back and undo it by saying genuine words of love where hate has existed, forgiveness where anger was, mercy, kindness, humility, where pride was. I mean, replace all those things and put out that fire.
Yep.
Use that same tongue for good things. Todd, nothing more needs to be said.
God bless.
We got to say that.
God bless.
I got to go work. I got to go get to work on this. As always, thank you for your time. Thank you for listening to it. Appreciate your feedback. And now, Todd.